Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by the wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In his best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland's success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet. Create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more each day. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Today's show is also brought to you by our great friends over at TouringPlans.com. They're the folks that keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Vacation. This is tried and true science here, folks. They can save you up to 4 hours each day of your vacation. And think about that. 4 hours. What are you going to do with that? You're going to take a swim, maybe go play some golf, maybe just chill in a chair by the pool. Who knows? But whatever you do, it's going to make your vacation a vacation. So start off 2017 right. Pick up that premium subscription over at TouringPlans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1117 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and yes, that day has arrived. Well, actually, I'm still down at Walt Disney World. Don't get me wrong. I'm having a good time walking around, hopefully with those dopey medals, getting pictures in front of, you know, Cinderella Castle, the Chinese theater at the studios, everywhere. You know, anybody that's staying still, I'll probably get a picture with you with my medals. But unfortunately, tonight is the night the dream dies. You know, we come back from Walt Disney World, get back to the real world, and don't know exactly when we're going back until the podcast cruise. So, you know, got to have some fun. But today's the day it all comes to an end. We'll be back to the real world. But lots of stories to be shared. And of course, we have a podcast for you here on a Monday. We wouldn't leave you hanging. And we have a very special show for you today. We are going to talk to another Disney author here in the Disney community. Now, I know this gentleman from way back. And you got to be an old timer to get this. Back in the WDW Today podcast days with Mike, Matt, and Len. And one of the people who wrote in all the time with great questions from Las Cruces, New Mexico, we had Dan Cisneros. How's it going, Dan?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for the intro.
Is it sad that I bring you up like that? Because that's how I remember you, because you always had great questions for the Wednesday listener question shows. And, you know, I it was like you were a part of, you're kind of like the fifth Beatle with those guys or something.
Oh, man. That was a great time. I remember you reminding me now of some of those questions I wrote in. I can't believe I asked some of those things.
You know, we all had to start somewhere. But man, those were the days, were they not, when podcasting was, you know, just emerging and there were only like maybe five shows out there. Now there's like 1,005.
Oh, man, Mike, those days, you know, I was a mailman then and I was getting close to retirement and I was just hanging on for those last maybe 5 or 6 years. And, you know, WDW Today and Be Our Guest, I mean, I'd, you know, load them up onto my iPod and take them out on the route with me all day long for 8, 9, 10, 11 hours, nonstop podcast. All I could get. I couldn't get enough. It was a lot of fun.
That's so awesome. You know, I like to reflect back on those days because it was fun. You know, it was one of those things that it was still, I mean, to me, and I love being able to talk to you about this because you were around back then, you know, we could talk this way, but, you know, it was almost magic. These things would show up for free. And back then in the day, you had to work for your shows. You know, you had to download them on your desktop computer, remember to take your iPod and plug it physically into your machine in the morning, like when you take your shower or something, so everything could sync up. And then you were good for the day. I mean, it's almost too easy nowadays.
Oh, yeah. You know, actually, it's not that easy for me. I'm a little technically challenged. In fact, you wouldn't believe the phone I had. I had a little Nokia phone, looked like a little silver walkie-talkie. We just now got our first smartphones just like about a month ago. So, yeah, I still do things the hard way.
All right. Well, welcome to 2003, Dan. We like it.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. So, if it wasn't for my daughter and son-in-law, I don't know where I'd be right now.
You know what? Sometimes I think that's the best way. Technology can give you many, many headaches, but it's fun. I buy the latest thing every time. But anyhow, let's talk about your backstory with Disney, and you have written a book. We're going to talk about that. Disney Tale of the Tape, theme park boxing. We're going to get into all this. Now, I'm not a boxing fan, and I know you are a huge boxing fan, so you're going to have to kind of school me on these things. But let's jump in with a little backstory for you. How did you get interested in Disney? What's your backstory?
Okay, sure, Mike. Well, you know, in the book, there's an appendix there. It's called my Disney side, which, of course, introduces myself as a Disney fan. And actually, you know, I grew up in Los Angeles, so Disneyland was the place. And every time we'd get company, you know, anybody in the L.A. area, when you get company, that means you're going to Disneyland every time, which was great. You know, I loved it. And I always loved Disneyland, and I really dreamed of being one of the people wearing the plaid shirts, being a tour guide, you know, for Disney. That never happened, but it's kind of there's a little bit of a story to it. Yeah, my wife and I eventually, in 2009, we took a trip to Walt Disney World. We had never been to Disney World, and it was like a lifelong dream, and it was like the trip of a lifetime, and oh man, it was just incredible. Actually, before that, I'm sorry, in 1994, we took my son and my daughter, the four of us, we took a road trip from Albuquerque, New Mexico. We drove, we took a few days, and we went to Walt Disney World. That was incredible. That was just an unforgettable trip. That was the trip of a lifetime. Then we didn't, you know, come back again for a while. In 2009 is when my wife and I got the urge to go back again. And when we went, it was even, I can't describe it. It was just so fun, just so unbelievably amazing, incredible. Walt Disney World is always changing, and we were fascinated. We fell in love with the place. And from there, you know, here we are. We go there 2, 3, 4 times a year now. I just love it.
That's the story of so many people. And plus, I like the road trip aspect because it makes it takes a quick Disney vacation and turns it almost into an adventure that you'll remember forever, because there's, you know, investment to drive across the country. Of course, you get the great stories from the road and that kind of stuff. Now, I like asking people this that, you know, have gone, you know, quite a while ago for their first time to Walt Disney World, because it's such a different experience. What do you still remember here, you know, in early 2017, back to the early 2000s? You know, you said it was an amazing place, but when you go back in your mind's eye, what do you remember about Walt Disney World that stood out on those first trips?
Well, yeah, definitely the first trip, 1994. One thing that stands out in my mind that I picture all the time was when we were on the bus and we were driving to Epcot for the first time, because you know, Disneyland and the Magic Kingdom are pretty similar, so even though that was something new and exciting, there was something special about Epcot. And I'll never forget just looking up and seeing Spaceship Earth as we were approaching from the parking lot, you know, as we were getting closer and closer. I'll never forget that image in my mind. That was a really special thing. One other special thing is our son, he passed away in 1998. It was an accident at his high school. That's in the book, too. And but in 1994, you know, he was so excited to be at Walt Disney World, and we stayed at Port Orleans Riverside. It was called Dixie Landings then. And I'll never forget, after the first day we were there, that night when we were getting ready to go to sleep, the four of us in the room there, he was so excited that he started shaking. He was just literally just shaking, and he was saying, "What's wrong with me?" You know, I said, "What's wrong, Daniel? What's wrong?" He said, "I don't know. I'm so excited. And he was just so excited that he literally was shaking with excitement. And we used to tease him about that all the time. So that was really a special memory for me, Mike.
That's a really sweet story. I mean, that is, you know, when you see your kids getting into, you know, getting into it just like you are, because, you know, I can tell you're a huge Disney fan. I am, but it makes it very, very special. So you're taking me right back to like my first trips too. You know, you just picture, you see things in books. You know, back in the day when I was getting into it, you went to the library, you know, it's kind of before you had all these websites and so forth, and you would see pictures and read reviews, you know, a little 2-3 paragraphs about what it's like to stay at French Quarter or the Polynesian or, you know, what have you. But now it's, you know, we're living in the good old days now, because you get to see live streams of everything. But in a way, it kind of takes away from that discovery. You know what I'm saying? Like everything was, like you said, like pulling up to Epcot, it was like something you had never experienced before. And I think it's hard for people to get that nowadays for their first trip, maybe. I don't know, because I'm not there.
Oh, but,
you know?
Oh, yes, Mike. Totally, totally, exactly. You know, back then there was no YouTube. I had no internet in 1994. And everything was through books. In fact, I think I had used the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World book back then. Len Testa was not even a part of it yet. It was by Bob Selinger, period. You know, and you could read the words and read about it, but, and you know, other than books, there wasn't a whole lot out there like now. You can go on YouTube and practically, you know, spend a day at Walt Disney World via the internet, you know. But yeah, in those days it was so different. So when you got there and saw it in person, live, in color, the anticipation just, oh man, it was a great feeling, Mike. I'm getting chills right now just thinking about it.
Me too. I'm looking up at my bookshelf. I have some old books that I've hung on to just because they were special from back then. Look, one other thing I want to ask you about was that, you know, when you decide to go from being a Disney fan to putting pen to paper, and we've had, you know, a few Disney authors come on the show here recently, I always find this interesting because obviously to put out a book, you have to have a different angle. You know, there's only so many guidebooks. There's, you know, the unofficial guide. Nobody's going to take that one on. Nobody, you know, that thing weighs 12 pounds and, you know, who could ride all that?
The heavyweight
stuff?
Champ.
You got that right. That goes into your book. So tell us about the, you know, the first idea of writing a book and, you know, how did you find your corner, I should say, you know, maybe going in with the boxing metaphors again, but, you know, how did you find where you were going to make your book fit into this big community of Disney fans?
Oh, absolutely, Mike. Well, and that also is a little part of the book too. Okay, after being so excited about Disney World, you know, I came home and I just, what can I do to be part of this? It was just, I wanted to express it, you know, so I started a blog, and everybody has a blog now, I guess, but I started a little blog called Disney Fountain of Youth, and I put it out there, and it was, you know, trip reports and little tips for people and stuff like that, and Bob McLean, the publisher of Theme Park Press, I guess he somehow, you know, he found me through the blog. He saw the blog. He saw that I was a former pro boxing judge and all my background in pro boxing. So he contacted me about the blog, and he asked me if I wanted to consider writing a column for his, he had a website called Disney Dispatch. It was a really cool website. It's not there anymore. And he asked me if I would write a column, and he said, we'll call it Disney Tale of the Tape. And he kind of, you know, pitched it to me, and I thought, yeah, this sounds great. This is a lot of fun. So I did that column, and it was kind of like the book. It would take different attractions and experiences at Disney World and Disneyland, and we'd match them up in little like mock boxing matches. And you know, I would be the judge, and we would kind of describe the rides and make categories. And each category would be a round. So the first round maybe would be the queue. So then I'd take the queue of one attraction and the queue of another attraction, talk about them, and we would score the rounds. And so that was fun, and that lasted about a year. And then I think Bob sold the website, and it kind of died out. So, you know, it just disappeared. And so I said, oh, well, it was fun while it lasted. And out of the blue, Bob contacted me again. He said, hey, remember when you wrote the column for me? How would you like to do a book about that? And I thought, man, you know, I mean, it was fun as a column on a website, but as a book, I don't know if it was book worthy. But he kind of pitched it to me, and I thought about it for a little while, and I said, well, this sounds fun. Let's give it a try. And so I started the book, and I started with the same format as the website, as the column. But as I went along, I realized, you know, what the Disney fan community is so big, and there's so much information out there and so many experts out there. Who cares what I think? Let me contact some of these people that are actually experts. So I thought I would, rather than just me judging each round, I would have myself and two expert, real judges. So I reached out to Len Testa, who was a friend of mine. Like you said, you know, I used to send crazy questions into the WDW Today podcast, and I found out he was a big boxing fan. So we really hit it off. So I contacted Len, and at the time, I was going to just do the original format, and all I wanted Len to do was write the foreword for the book. And he was, you know, on board immediately, and he was happy to do it. And I was so excited to have Len Testa part of this project. Oh, I was on cloud nine. I was just so honored. You know, it was great. And as things progressed, I decided to change the format, and we went with some Disney expert judges. And that's, you know, pretty much how it ended up, how the book came to be.
Man, that's, you know what? I have so much respect for somebody who has put out a book, because to me, that just seems like the ultimate long-term, you know, you got to dive in deep undertaking. Because, of course, if you're going to put something out, you know, a book, at least nowadays with e-books and Kindles and so forth, like with the Unofficial Guide, you know, they can send out updates and it's not so permanent. But, you know, when I picture a book, I'm picturing paper and, you know, putting it in your hand, the physical book, where once you put it out there, you know, people are going to read this and it's there. And, you know, it's like, oh, man, should I have said that? You know, it's one of those things. Did that go into your mind when you went to publish something like this?
Oh, Mike, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm constantly second guessing myself and should I or shouldn't I? And, oh, and I'd say little remarks. And was that too corny? Was that too ridiculous? Was that correct? I mean, yeah, that definitely, like you said, once you put it on, you know, once it's published, there's no going back. Once it's out there, you can't take it back. Yeah. And you put your name to it, and it kind of represents you. But I still went ahead. I'd never written a book, and I wasn't even sure I could do it. And it was quite an undertaking. I spent a lot of time here at the PC researching, and you know, my wife and I, we go to babysit up in Albuquerque. I live in Las Cruces, New Mexico. It's about a 3-hour drive. And as the deadline time was coming up, you know, I was really, it was getting kind of tight. So I, you know, beg off and I'd tell my wife, would you mind going up and just doing the babysitting yourself? And she was really good about it. She'd say, no, you stay for this week or two and work on the book, you know, and I did. And I just put my heart and soul into it. And, but it was really fun, Mike. You know, I hope the publisher's happy with it. I'd love to do it again. It was really exciting, and this has just been I don't have words for it. It's really wonderful. I just can't believe that this has really happened.
It's awesome, man. I love that you took it on, and I love that you brought content to the Disney community. That's what this is all about. Now, I will admit, I haven't read it yet, because we just got in contact about the book about 48 hours ago, and I said, you know what?
Yes.
Your Dances and Arrows from WDW Today back in the day. Yes, let's get it. You know, let's record the podcast right away, and it's going to help me, because actually I'm down at Walt Disney World right now, so we recorded this a little bit early. But, you know, what's the name of the book? Because I'm sure that there are people sitting at their cubicle. They should be working, but maybe they're going to pull up the website to check it out. And as we talk about the interview, and maybe we can get into some of these matchups here kind of as we close out the show. But where can you find the more information on the book, and what's it called?
Sure, Mike. Okay, well, the book is called Disney Tale of the Tape, Theme Park Boxing. And it's coming out. It was published by Theme Park Press. And it's available on Amazon.com. Just punch in Disney Tale of the Tape and it'll come up there. It's paperback and Kindle. And it's a book that is, you know, primarily Disney fans are going to get it. If you're just a boxing fan, there's a little bit of boxing in there, a little of my history of boxing and some things in there. There's even a chapter there about how to score a pro boxing match, believe it or not. There's an appendix in there.
That's the way to do it, though, you know, because you can claim something that there's not, I guarantee you, that's not in any other Disney book, period.
Absolutely. You know, Mike, it was a tightrope. It's a hard, how do you combine boxing and Disney? You know, it just, there's not a whole lot of connection there, but we try to pull it off by putting the matches together in a boxing match form. And, you know, I try to keep in mind that non-Disney people will be reading the book, hopefully. But it really is geared towards boxing, Disney people. The Disney fans, people that are nuts like myself, like you and I, that just, you know, love Walt Disney World, and that's like one of our top favorite hobbies, you know. They're the ones that are really, I think, going to enjoy this book. There's a lot of fun. It's got information about the attractions. But the thing that makes it good is the judges. Each round, the three judges give their opinion on that particular category. And I have some great judges. I've got Jerry Cornell. He runs ThemeParkology.com, makes some awesome videos, mostly Disneyland, but he does Disney videos of the attractions and things. He's incredible. Randy Crane, he's the author of Faith and the Magic Kingdom. Just their knowledge is just off the charts. You know, Len Testa did six of the bouts. He's a judge for six of the bouts. And, of course, Len, you know, he's the man. Big Fat Panda, John Sakari, runs BigFatPanda.com on YouTube. He's incredible. I mean, and some of the others, I hope I'm not forgetting anyone. Well, there's 10 of them. Even my daughter's a judge in the book. She's a super Disney fan, and she knows boxing, so I thought she's a great fit, and she did a great job. And Dave Kennedy from Dave's Disney Views, Krista Joy, and actually a couple of actual boxing judges. Gary Merritt, He's a 70-year-old retired boxing judge. He judged pro boxing for 37 years. He's done over 1,600 bouts. He's traveled all over the world and judged world championship fights, and he's a Disney World fanatic. He's 70 years old, and he's been there over 50 times, and he's constantly going. I was shocked when I found this out. So he had to be a judge in the book. And Nathan Palmer also is a judge and a referee from California, Zach Young. He lives in the L.A. area, and he goes to Disneyland all the time. These guys really know their Disney stuff, and I needed some Disneyland. You know, that was one of the hard parts, Mike, was trying to match up people. I was surprised how few people actually have been to both parks. I just assumed in my mind that everyone that's been to Disneyland has been to Disney World and vice versa, but it didn't turn out that way. A lot of the people said, I can't judge this particular bout because I've never been to Disneyland, or the other way around. That was kind of tough. So it was really a juggling act trying to fit the judges together for the book.
Yeah, that's where I would fall. You know, I still have yet to make it to Disneyland, and that's a crime. I know I say it all the time, but I'm going to make good on that and get out to California. But yeah, I'd be in the same situation. And you really do, it sounds like, have a nice cross section of judges, because, you know, some people, you know, just between you and I, you know, I'd say Len would be pretty good at, I don't know, I'm trying to think like Cava del Tequila against something else down at Walt Disney World, you know, maybe something like that. But, you know, everybody's got their passions and everybody's got their expertise. And it sounds like you really tried to think of that when you brought it in, to get different perspectives brought into the book. And I think that's probably what this is all about.
Yes, absolutely. It was a real juggling act. And guys like Len Testa, boy, they came to my rescue. Some of these were just so... had not really been experienced by a lot of the people that were judges, and I kept thinking, where am I going to find three judges beside myself that have done these things? But Dave Kennedy from the Dave's Disney View podcast, he really helped me out a lot. He came through. And Krista Joy, she only does one bout. It's the Hollywood Brown Derby against the Carthay Circle. But thank goodness, she had eaten at both, and I found another judge who had eaten at both, and myself. So we were able to just find that one. So that one made the book. There was a few matches that I started on, but we could not find the judges that had done both. So I had to put that off, hopefully for the next book, but we'll see about that. But it was a real juggling act, Mike.
All right. Well, hey, we have about 10 minutes left in the show, but let's just have some fun here. Let's set up a bout, and you and I can talk it through, and then the listeners can kind of be the third judge on our Facebook page. And we'll see what we can do here. So just give us a match here, and let's just talk it through here for a few minutes.
Okay, let's put one match on here. Well, one pretty good one was the Jungle Cruise against the Kilimanjaro Safaris. It's the Jungle Cruise, the version at Magic Kingdom against Kilimanjaro Safaris.
All right, so how would we go about this? That's a good matchup. I like it because they both have their positives and negatives. So walk me through the process.
Okay, well, I'm going to try to get to that chapter here and see. The way it starts off is, you know, we introduce the bout, and you'll see the two fighters come into the ring, and it tells you who the ring announcer is and the referees in the book and who the three judges are. You have the tail of the tape, like they have on boxing. It'll show, you know, in boxing it would be their height, their reach, their weight. But here it's, you know, when the ride was created, the location, the characters, you know, the duration of the ride, height restrictions, stuff like that. And then you get into the bout, and for instance, with this particular bout, round one is the cue. So you know, there's a little description about the cue for the Kilimanjaro Safari. There's a little description about the cue for the Jungle Cruise. And then it kind of goes into like a boxing match, and you see the two come out, and they're you know, it'll be a little bit there about the action that happened in that round. Then you go to the three judges, and the judges for this particular bout are Gary Merritt, who was that boxing judge I was telling you about that's been to Disney World over 50 times. I think he's leaving again in a couple of weeks. He's always going to Disney World. And he'll give his, you know, what he thinks about the two cues and who he thinks won that round. Myself, and then Len Testa is one of the judges for that particular bout. And he'll talk about, you know, what he likes about the two and so on. And then, so that's it for that round. And you go on to round two, would be the setting. Round three is the stars of the show. Round four, the hosts of the show, which are the drivers and of the Kilimanjaro, you know, buggies and the safari skippers. And goes on to the ride vehicles, and we talk about the different ride vehicles and who wins that round. The Imagineering and technology that went into the route, into the attraction. And then round seven is the thrills, the thrills of the two attractions. And round eight is always, the last round of each bout is always intangibles. That can be anything. Anything you liked about it, anything that was special that happened to you on the attraction, you know, whatever. And then at the end, the scorecards are tallied up. We give the three judges scores, just like a real boxing match, and the ring announcer announces it, and a winner is pronounced.
I like it.
And then at the end, there could be maybe a little post-fight interview or something like that. So it kind of goes along the format of a real boxing match. But there's 14 matches in the book, and there's some pretty fun matchups there. I think Disney fans are just going to enjoy it.
I love this. This is a great idea. So now let's do a real quick condensed version. Okay, so let's talk through the cue, and I'm going to pretend like I'm a judge here. So I'm going to say, if I had to give it to one or the other, I'm giving the cue to the Jungle Cruise just because of the music loop. I enjoy that. While Kilimanjaro Safaris, you can get educated with those TVs they have as you go through the cue. They're both hot. They're both switchbacks. They're both kind of miserable, but I'm going to give the slight edge to Jungle Cruise because of the background loop. What do you think?
Let me see. I'm going to look in here and see what I actually said about it.
Stay consistent.
I'll give you a little sneak preview here. I did pick the Jungle Cruise. And there's a little about maybe 8 lines there. And mostly because of the gags in the Jungle Cruise. Like, you know, the Kilimanjaro Safari is more authentic, serious, mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
The Jungle Cruise is just plain fun. And that's the last thing I said on there. And so Jungle Cruise had to win for the cue on my scorecard.
All right. What's round two again? We'll walk through these real quick.
Okay, round two. Let's see. I'm actually looking at the book here. Round two is the setting, and it's about the way the attraction looks as you walk up to it, you know, the setting of the attraction, and what would you think about that?
Man, as you're walking up to it, so you got to kind of drop down there in the Magic Kingdom in Adventureland to go up to Jungle Cruise, and it is kind of cool looking. The setting overall of Kilimanjaro Safaris is amazing. You know, you have just the Serengeti there basically in Florida, but as you're entering the queue, I would have to give it to Jungle Cruise slightly again.
Okay, yeah, Mike, and also for the setting, actually the setting of the whole attraction. So,
oh, okay, then you know what? Then I'm switching
the whole savannah and the whole down the river thing too. The whole thing actually.
Nope, then I'm switching it for the overall scope of the thing. I'm going Kilimanjaro Safaris because it's, you know, where else can you feel like you're in Africa? That's hard to pull off. So I'm going the safari on that.
Okay, so far you and I are in agreement, because I think I gave that round to the safaris.
All right.
And there's a little explanation why. Round three was the stars of the show, and these were actually the animatronics of Jungle Cruise and the animals of the Kilimanjaro Safaris. So who do you think would win that round?
Yeah, you just have to give that to the safari, because it's hard to beat the real thing, and I think this is what Walt wanted in the Jungle Cruise back in the day at Disneyland, but... Then again, there are some negatives to that, because there's times where you see very few animals, because they are animals and they can be, stubborn and hide out and you don't see them. Where at the Jungle Cruise, they can be available at all times. You get a consistent show. But I would say, for the most part, I'm going safari with the stars of the show.
Exactly. And let me see here. Judge Dan Cisneros. Yeah, I think I went with safaris on that one, too. I said I would much rather pet a Thompson's gazelle or feed an Ankole bull. You know, than to see the animatronics up close.
That's true.
So far, Mike, you and I are
like brothers here. Judge. Yeah, it's a sure. All right, we're rolling. So let's go to round four.
Round four is the host of the show, and so you've got the drivers on the Kilimanjaro Safari big vehicles who are giving you interesting facts, and they're good at what they do. And then you've got the Jungle Cruise skippers. So who do you think wins that one?
You know what? I'm going to step out. This is going to, you know, this is one, I think it's like a setup, you know, because how do you go against a Jungle Cruise skipper? But I'm going to go to the safari simply for the fact that I think that the Kilimanjaro Safari drivers have to be more educated and more on their toes, because everything is changing. They don't know what to expect from trip to trip to trip. They're not just reciting, you know, a script as the Jungle Cruise skippers do, which I enjoy with all the great puns. And you got to have a good delivery for that. Don't get me wrong. But they're also driving the vehicle. They're making judgments on how close to get to the other cars. So I'm going safari, even though I love those Jungle Cruise skippers.
Okay, well, I think you would be in the minority there.
I know, but I think there's a lot to consider.
But absolutely, Mike, you know, it's just like real boxing. It's all so subjective. I mean, what is it for you that you particularly think, you know, is going to carry that round? So there's no right or wrong. It's really, you know, the way you see it. And Judge Len Testa had a great thing to say in this category. Yeah, it's pretty entertaining. He's remembering that he had a boat full of people on the Jungle Cruise, and they did a the skipper actually did a "That's What She Said" routine.
Oh gosh!
And he said the general public will never hear that one. It was an epic.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure that would make a memory to remember forever.
Oh, I wish I could have been on that.
Yeah,
so round five, we went with the ride vehicles, and you've got the boats on the Jungle Cruise, and you've got the big what would you call them, safari you know, terrain tramplers, I guess, the big buggies on the safari. So who do you think has the better ride vehicle that you would enjoy more?
Well, I'm going to throw this one as a tribute to my buddies over at Wedway Radio, and everything's better on a boat. So I'm going to go with the Jungle Cruise boats. And plus, I drive a Jeep Wrangler, so there's not much difference than driving around St. Louis or riding on one of those vehicles on the safari. It's almost the same.
Yeah, that was a tough one for me too. And I'm not sure how I scored that one. I think I made that one an even round. It was just, both are excellent. It was a really hard choice. And then round six was the Imagineering and technology. And so the Imagineering and technology that go into the attractions themselves. And what do you think, Mike?
Man, this one I'm going to go with the safari too, because it's just, you know, even though it's not technology as far as, you know, a device or something, I think you have to be very smart and very creative in how you're going to have live animals be a part of a show, because you want them to be there for the guests to enjoy. So you got to come up with creative and new ways, you know, through either enrichment activities or, you know, treats for the animals alongside where the vehicles are passing. You also have to come up with creative ways to have them on display 365 days a year and still keep them healthy and happy and that kind of things. And Jungle Cruise, the technology was there back in the 60s, I would say, but, you know, it's still in the 60s, so I'm going to give that one to the safari.
Mike, are you sure you didn't read the book?
I didn't read the book, I know, I'm just saying.
On the money, that's exactly what most of the judges tended to say. You know, at one time, the Jungle Cruise was incredible technology, you know, and it was just unbelievable. I remember as a kid myself at Disneyland, I was just in awe of the Jungle Cruise, and nowadays, you know, not so much. And the Imagineering, the technology it takes to have the live animals, you know, well cared for and to entice them to be out in the open where the, you know, the guests can see them. I think there was a lot of Imagineering, a lot of technology that goes into that. So that's how that round went. And the last round, round eight, it was an eight-rounder, is intangibles. And that could be anything. And in the book, it lists quite a few little intangibles, different things that Safaris now offers, the nighttime tour, which I think is really cool. Nostalgia is a big factor for the Jungle Cruise because it's a ride that most people have enjoyed for many years. You know, it goes way back to the Disneyland days. So what do you think? Any intangibles there that would give you that final round?
Yeah, the final round definitely would go to Jungle Cruise for me because, you know, when I think of an intangible, I think of what would it be like if it was missing? And, you know, so many of my memories of Walt Disney World, you know, get back to the classic attractions, and Jungle Cruise is certainly one of those. And when you ride it at night, it just has this very mysterious feeling to it. I really enjoy that. And to me, again, I haven't been to Disneyland, but when I ride on the Jungle Cruise, I feel a connection to Walt. I feel a connection to somebody who wanted to put on a show to educate and to entertain at the same time. And the Jungle Cruise definitely does that for me. I never want that to go away. So intangibles, I'm giving that round to the Jungle Cruise.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense to me, Mike. You're a great judge. I still think you'd make a good boxing judge. I'll tell you, the bout ended as a majority decision, which means two of the judges had one of them as a winner, and one judge had it even. And I'm not going to say who won, but it was a close bout, and that was a really good one. There's 14 bouts in the book total.
Well, you know, this is a lot of fun. I enjoyed doing this, and I'm going to enjoy reading the book. I can't wait to pick it up. So, again, Disney Tale of the Tape, Theme Park Boxing, available on Amazon, put out by Theme Park Press, correct?
Absolutely. You got it, Mike. Yeah, I can't wait for you to read it. I can tell you're really going to enjoy it.
I am. I'll be playing right along just like we are. So, Dan, thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been way too long since we've been able to get you on here. So, great to have you on. And when you put it, you got to do a second book here now, so we'll have to have you back on the show when that happens.
Oh, thank you. I hope the publisher's listening. Mike, can I tell you a real quick story?
Oh, 100%. That's why we're here. Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
Okay. One of our recent trips, my wife and I went up to the Top of the World Lounge at the Bay Lake Tower, and I had this satchel that I would always carry all my, you know, snacks and, you know, touring plans and things for each Disney World trip. I had my satchel. It's a WDW Today satchel. Well, actually, this was a while back because it was the old show, but so I was, you know, how they have someone take you up to the Top of the World Lounge, you show them your DVC card, and a cast member will take you up. And he says, oh, are you part of that podcast? And I said, oh, no, I'm just a fan. He said, oh, man, that's my favorite podcast. I love it. I listen to it all the time. And I said, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, Len, Mike, and Matt, they do a great job. Yeah, I call in there all the time. And the guy gave me a funny look, and he didn't say another word. And I thought, gee, what, did I say something wrong or what? So we get up to the top of the World Lounge, and I realized I was wearing my Be Our Guest podcast T-shirt.
Oh, no.
But he was talking about your podcast, and he didn't know who I was. He thought, well, this guy is mixed up.
Hey, you know, we're all embarrassed. I try to think of us all as one big family from back in the day, you know. That's how we roll. I love it though. You know that, and you know, still, and I just got to say this because it means so much to me when folks buy a t-shirt and wear it down at Walt Disney World. I never would have thought that happened. I'm sure it's kind of like that with your book. Like, you know, when you see people reading your book, it's like, who would have thought in my wildest dreams anybody would wear a Be Our Guest podcast t-shirt at Walt Disney World or somebody would listen. So Dan, I appreciate that so much. And thanks for putting out the content, the new book for us. And I'm going to enjoy reading it. So we're going to get you back on the show. I really appreciate it.
Mike, I can't thank you enough. I love the podcast, and you guys are just a blessing to me. And I just love the show, and give my best to Ricky and Pam. And man, I'm so honored to be here, Mike. Thank you so much.
I sure will. And Happy New Year to you. Have a great 2017.
Happy New Year, Mike. Thank you.
All right. Don't forget today's show, ironically enough, brought to you by another book, The Wisdom of Walt. So drop by thewisdomofwalt.com today. Pick up this awesome book. It's by Jeff Barnes. He talks about Walt Disney and how he built Disneyland and left many little nuggets for us to improve our lives and to just take lessons from Walt Disney himself to carry on and make our lives just a little bit better, plus our lives, is like I like to think about it. So drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. You can pick up a personally signed copy or just drop by Amazon and get the book in all various ways you can pick up a book. Also, we're brought to you by touringplans.com. They're going to keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. We talked about Len, and it's just like being inside of Len's brain. Kind of scary, but hey, it's great. So pick up that premium subscription today over at touringplans.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Be Our Guest Mike, and drop by our Facebook group. We'll have the discussion here. We'll do a little boxing here on a Monday. Facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right. Thanks so much for checking in. We appreciate you downloading today's show. Thank you so much for supporting everything we do. It is just amazing to me, and I cannot thank you enough for all the time you've spent with us here on the podcast. So for Ricky and Pam and Dan Cisneros, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.